Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Molly.
And I'm Kristen.
Kristen, today our question is whether size matters. It's a topic that has been requested by many listeners.
So many times.
It's an age-old question that you very often see, you know, if you're reading a lady mag, if you're reading a men's magazine, They're going to talk about the size of a man's penis.
Yes.
So I have a little story to share with you guys about something that happened to me this week related to penis size, but it's PG rated.
It's PG. So I made sure you guys, Molly wasn't going to filth up this podcast.
So I've been taking this exercise class. It's 10 people, 2 guys, 8 girls, basically. And we were doing this exercise where it just strengthened your abdominal muscles. And you lay on your back and you hold your feet up 6 inches from the ground because that, you know, requires you to draw on your core to hold your feet up. And it can be very hard if your abdominal muscles aren't that good. You might go higher to kind of, you know, take some pressure off your abs. So we've been doing this exercise a few times, and finally this guy looks up, and he's like, it's really funny to see what you girls think 6 inches looks like, because I don't know if you've noticed, but me and the other guy in this class, we're doing exactly 6 inches from the ground. And he was not trying to imply that, you know, he had better abdominal muscles than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
He was just implying that if we really thought that having our feet halfway, you know, like 20 inches off the ground, if that was 6 inches, then he felt that we must think that guys are pretty well endowed.
That 6 inches is huge.
Yeah. He was like, that 6 inches is huge that you girls are thinking of. And, because 6 inches is the average size of the male penis, I think that his anecdote proves that even when exercising, men are worried about the size of their penis.
According to our research, that is absolutely correct. And it makes total sense, you know, that these men were able to exactly gauge 6 inches, which, as we'll go into in more detail, is roughly the size of the average male member. Because statistics bear out the fact that, guys, you are so concerned about penile size, whereas women,
don't seem to care.
Yeah.
And so let's get into some myths. Let's get into some measurements.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently, according to our research, you ask a guy, you know, how long is it? He's going to have a number to rattle off for you.
Yeah, it's very true. So I think, Molly, the best place for us to start is with this study that we found from the British Journal of Urology entitled Penile Size and the quote-unquote Small Penis Syndrome. And guys, before you get all freaked out about Small Penis Syndrome, just bear with us, because the study actually busts a lot of common myths about male genitals.
Right.
This is great. It's great news.
But they do start with a historic look at why men would be so hung up, for lack of a better word, on penis size. From the very beginning of time, penises have been equated with masculinity. Obviously, yes. It's the most obvious marker between the genders. And so even when they go back and look at, you know, cave drawings and ancient texts, the most powerful men are depicted with huge penises, to the point that in some cultures, like the Topanama of Brazil, the men would encourage poisonous snakes to bite their penis to make it enlarge for 6 months.
6 months.
So throughout time and history, we have people worrying about the size of the penis in relation to the size of their masculinity and power.
Mm-hmm. So it absolutely makes sense that there is this, like you said, this hang up on penile size, especially with men. But when these researchers went back and reevaluated a lot of studies dealing with correlations between, say, penile size and ethnicity or age, what have you, they found that it's actually not as this whole penis quandary that a lot of men get stuck in is really just a bunch of myths that deserve to be busted. For instance, Molly, you want me to bust some myths right quick?
I would love that.
All right. Here we go. Get ready. The notion that penis size varies according to race. False.
Yes. Totally no matter what false. You've heard in the locker room. False.
The oft-repeated myth that older men tend to have smaller penises.
False.
False. And last but not least, the average size of the penis. All right. Here we go, people. It's around 5.5 to 6 inches in length.
And about 4.7 to 5.1 inches in circumference.
Yes.
So there may be people slightly bigger than that. There may be people slightly smaller than that. That is the average. But what the study then goes into is the men who are on, you know, the smaller or larger side of that, and how one little number affects their entire self-esteem. And it really reminded me of reading about women and their weight struggles, because it is just one little number that can totally affect your self-esteem. For example, men who thought that they had a smaller penis had poorer body image. They didn't like the way their faces looked. They didn't like the way they looked in a swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this would, you know, just affect so many things in their lives. But when the researchers who wrote this article went in and looked, the men who thought they had small penises actually had average-sized penises.
Right, and this isn't surprising because jumping to another study right quick on whether it's actually entitled, Does Size Matter? In these researchers' surveys, only 55% of the men surveyed were satisfied with the size of their member. 45% wanted larger penises. And this whole idea of the quote-unquote small penis syndrome is directly related to body dysmorphic disorder, which we usually think about with girls when girls with eating disorders, when they look in the mirror and they are emaciated and yet they still see a fat figure in front of them. These men will get so hung up on their penis size and being obsessed with, you know, whether or not they are below average, that it has all of these kind of psychological repercussions.
Right. So small penis syndrome is not a diagnosis for someone who has an actual small penis. It's for someone who becomes obsessive about checking the length, not being able to see themselves accurately in the mirror, to having their life essentially, you know, taken over by their penis. And so the people who exhibited signs of this syndrome did not, again, have small penises. They were within the average. The only clinical term for a very small penis is micropenis.
Yes, and if you have a micropenis, we're talking about under 2 inches flaccid. It's so small that you have to pee sitting down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a clinical thing, and researchers are making headway, actually, in removing skin from other parts of the body and elongating it so that you can do these basic functions like go to the bathroom, have an erection. Those were things that people with micropenises can't do. So, again, small penis syndrome, it's just people who are upset about the size.
Well, and it's interesting to look at how small penis syndrome arises, because according to this study from Porterbrook Clinic, 62.7% said that their concerns started in childhood when they compared their penis to that of their friends. And this is often referred to as the locker room syndrome. While 37.3% said that their concerns began during their teen years after seeing pornographic images. You know, they're seeing these men who are paid to depict, you know, kind of the, hyper masculine sexual image, which, you know, I'll just throw out Ron Jeremy's name and you can put the rest together from there.
But you know, I was also interested because they talked about how the first penis a boy sees is his father's usually. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how in the circumcision episode, one main reason for that people circumcise or not circumcise is they want the child to look like the father. But from the child's perspective, I would see the father's penis looks so much bigger than the boy's penis. And that's what some of these males cited as giving them this complex. Mm-hmm. So we go through all this, you know, drama about circumcision to make sure they look alike. But to a kid, it doesn't look alike. It looks bigger and it gives them a complex.
Right. And the same type of thing, you could draw a parallel between that and women and breast size. Mm-hmm. You know, a young girl seeing a woman's fully formed breasts, or even just like a small chested woman, you know, standing next to a woman with perhaps a fuller cup. And there's still these same kinds of size questions, but it does not seem to be as pervasive among women in terms of their breast size, and certainly not with their genitalia as it is with men and penises. So why don't we keep busting some more myths, Molly?
Here's a myth that's always intrigued me, Kristen. The link between a man's foot or his hand mm-hmm. and his penis size, mm-hmm. because there will inevitably be someone if you're hanging around and someone, you know, drops a shoe or something, they'll say, you know what they say about guys with big feet?
Oh, they wear big shoes, Molly.
That's the crazy thing that everyone
knows.
Likes to say. But
yeah.
Everyone knows what you're thinking.
Everyone knows what you're talking about. But bust it up, Molly.
Has no effect on it. And if there is an effect, if there is, you know, a very small correlation, that's all it is. It's correlational. It's not causation. You cannot approach the fellows in the bar looking at their shoes.
It is statistically insignificant. So women, stop looking at people's feet, and guys, stop wearing shoes that are two sizes too big.
If you see a guy showing up in a clown-sized shoe, he's one of the people who's really worried about
overcompensation,
about looking at himself in the mirror.
But here's the thing that was most fascinating to me about all of these penile studies, Molly. It's a fact that these scientists and researchers are measuring penises. And how on earth does that work?
Well, that was a very interesting question, Kristen, one that Slate.com dived into, because one of the first major penis studies was from the Kinsey Institute, where they had the men self-report their penis size. They had basically, first the men were in the office, and the researcher would hold up a ruler, and the ruler didn't have any numbers on it, but they would slide their finger over the ruler and tell the man to stop when he thought that represented his penis size. And then those men had to go home, measure themselves, and then mail in a postcard that said, you know, the number they got.
Right. And they measure themselves both erect and flaccid.
And they did find that the number between the ruler estimate and the postcard estimate was usually off. That men always kind of gave themselves a little bit more when they didn't have the number involved. But again, men will also give themselves a little credit, it's been shown, when they're self-reporting versus mm-hmm. when they're having a researcher measure.
So the researchers decided maybe we should just kind of make a little bit of a compromise between flaccid and erect. So the generally accepted method for measuring a penis is to measure it when the penis is flaccid but stretched, because the penis is full of this spongy tissue that stretches out. And so what happens is, yes, they just kind of stretch the member a little bit and measure away.
They'll measure on the top from where it hits the stomach or the torso, lower torso, to the tip. And so if you ever see, like, I remember there was this seed on weeds where two guys are comparing mm-hmm. and they decide to get erect to have the full measurement. But the official scientific way generally accepted is, as Kristen said, stretched flaccid.
Yes. And even then,
which is the name of our new band.
And even then, the Slate article points out that it still isn't entirely reliable. So, I'd never thought about measurement methodology of male genitalia, but it is complicated business.
So it is an inexact science, but what the research shows is that no matter the number you get and no matter how you got it, you're still going to be, men are still upset in some ways with the number they get. And so I'd like to move to a 2006 study called Does Size Matter? It was, Kristen mentioned it earlier, it was published by the APA, and it talked about a 2003 poll that was sponsored by MSNBC.com and Elle Magazine. And it was where men self-reported on the size and whether they were happy with it, whether they saw it as average, below average, above average. And as Kristen cited earlier, 45% of the men were unhappy with their penis size. But the women, there were women answering this question, too, about their partner's penis. And of the women, only 15% would change the man's penis if they could. And some of those women would have made the man that they were seeing smaller as opposed to larger.
Yeah, hear that, guys? 85% of women were satisfied with their partner's penis size.
So, I mean, again, it just made me think of weight, where, you know, you'll read the article and a guy will say, I really don't care what you weigh. I just care if you have confidence and if you are happy with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that really holds true with this penis argument because I looked at a men's health article and that's exactly what they said. If you're unhappy with it, just have confidence with it because that's what the woman is looking for. But I guess we can go ahead and ask the question, Kristen. Does size matter when you're having sex? Does penis size make a difference in the bedroom?
Well, according to our research, the answer is no, because women often report that, first of all, they aren't so much concerned about length as they are with width, to start off with. And then there was another study that we found that indicated that if we're going to keep pulling out all of these genital cliches, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the size of the boat and the motion of the ocean, and it kind of confirmed that. It was basically like men need to stop worrying about what their yacht looks like and learn how to drive it.
Mm-hmm. And women just can't, you know, lay back in this yacht that men are trying to learn how to drive and expect everything to just happen. One study found showed that women who achieve vaginal orgasm through intercourse usually had to focus intensely on what they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even, you know, if the man is driving the yacht and moving the ocean, to use all these metaphors, the woman still has a part to play in that.
Well, sure. I think that that's kind of the larger point of what we're talking about, is that sexual satisfaction is a very complex type of thing, especially for women. Like if, you know, in heterosexual relationships, if a man's goal is to, you know, not only to just impress a woman with his member size, but actually to create a pleasurable experience. You know, it's aesthetics aren't going to cut it. And this hits at episodes we've done on, you know, the interaction between birth control and libido, whether or not women need a Viagra, all these kinds of things. Whether you're in love with your partner. Exactly. The bedroom politics are just, I mean, you can't boil it down to one single piece of anatomy.
And I also don't think that, you know, it can be boiled down to one study, because some of these studies are a little bit conflicting. For example, the famous sex researchers Masters and Johnson talked about the size of the male penis in a physiological way versus a psychological way, and that maybe women are just as affected by some of these cultural factors about masculinity as women are. Physiologically, Masters and Johnson concluded that a penis could have no effect on female sexual satisfaction because they said the vagina was adaptable. And maybe it was just psychologically that women thought that that was what was making a factor. So again, it's a very, touchy issue of research and, not definitive in any way.
Now, Molly, even though we have pretty much disproven that, size might make a difference, plenty of men, like we've said, by the way, I can't wait to hear from all our male listeners on this, because we are just throwing out generalization after generalization.
Can I say one thing, though, about that?
Yes, please.
If you do have something to say, you probably shouldn't put penis size in the subject line.
Oh, yeah. Junk mailbox.
Because we've got a spam filter that works like no other. So why don't we address all emails about this show with the subject line kittens or puppies?
Okay.
Or baby guppies.
Baby guppies. We'll get to that in our listener mail segment. But coming back to the psychology of it, obviously, even though the statistics show that size does not make a difference, some men out there are just bound and determined to increase the size of their member because they're so hung up on it. And of course, you know, everybody's seen the ads for, you know, penis enhancement pills, penis pumps, phallicectomies, I think is what the surgery is called, you know, to get the penis enlargement. And then Molly, we have to talk about jelking.
If we must, we must, Kristen. One of the sources we read to get ready for this podcast was from Salon, and it was called Size Matters. And it was the tale of a man named Mike Salvini who has essentially stretched his penis out 5 inches by doing exercises like jelks.
Yeah, jelking, for those of you who don't know, and I'm not going to go into detail about jelking, but it's sort of... It's basically stretching exercises, these specific types of stretching exercises that men can perform on their genitalia that supposedly stretches out the spongy tissue inside the anatomy. Because whereas the penis really isn't built to grow, as a Salon author pointed out, it's actually a, quote, series of chambers and veins bound by a fibrous sheath. And you can manipulate that sheath, supposedly, through jelking. And this guy, who Mike Salvini nicknamed Double Long Daddy, has, and the author confirmed it, has stretched his member out to 10.5 inches.
And he leads communities. He participates in online communities of men who are trying to do the same thing. And again, that is the fact that these communities exist is sort of the reason why we have made the generalizations that we have, that some men can kind of become obsessed with this number and changing this number. And again, it's not something that women are innocent of in any stretch of the imagination.
Sure.
Because I do think that this is probably the thing that's most equivalent to women and their weight concerns. But again, I kept going back to that study that found that people who were really upset about their penis size were within the average.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that women don't care about, as 85% of them don't in that survey that examined 50,000 women, okay, that's a pretty good sample size.
Pretty big.
85% of women would not change a thing. So I think it's just important to bring that up. But, you know, we did find one random fun fact. And again, these fun facts are random in their nature. But Kristen, do you want to talk about a group of people who may not be interested in penis enlargement?
Yes, I would love to, Molly. There have been actually a few studies that have hinted around at this. And there are some men who might just not really care as much about trying to do any kind of jelking or penis enhancement practices because supposedly homosexual men have, on average, longer penises than heterosexual men. You heard it here.
Not by much.
We're talking 6.32 inches compared to 5.99. But, I mean, in the penis enhancement world, I mean, that's a big difference. And this is based on archive data from the Kinsey Institute. And in addition to slightly more length, they also have slightly more width. And the researchers go on to say that the penis correlation, penis homosexual correlation, might lend support to theories that there are actual biological factors affecting sexual orientation, which would make for another podcast. But there you go. Fun fact of the day.
And I'll end with another fun fact that's a sort of a cautionary tale. If you have listened to us talk about penis size and I've gotten a little bit worked up about your own penis size, it's a cautionary tale about Jonah Falcon, who is believed to have the largest penis currently.
Yes, 13.5 inches.
But you know what's significant about him? I don't think that would get him many dates because he is unemployed. Basically, he appeared in this documentary about his penis size. And so now whenever he goes off for jobs, He's trying to be an actor. You know, that's what people know about him. And people essentially dismiss him and say, well, why don't you just do porn? And he's like, I don't want to do porn. I want to be a legitimate actor.
Right.
But he is harnessed by this factoid that is known about him. So be careful what you wish for, Jelkers. You know, I mean, be come on. Let's get over this size matters thing. Let's move beyond it, fellas, and let's work on body confidence, men and women.
Yeah,
from both sides.
Body confidence, no matter your size, your weight, it's out there.
Yeah.
It's not worth making yourself miserable, which is what women do about weight and also about what men do about their penis size.
So take comfort in the science. You are attractive just as you are.
So we're going to end there. You know, it's we probably could have talked for quite a bit more on this, but that's where we're going to end, and we would love your feedback. I'm going to say on this one, no pictures.
No photos, please.
Sometimes we get photos because things are relevant. Like when we did the beard podcast.
And got tattoos.
Got all these facial hair pictures, got all these tattoo pictures.
No need.
No pictures this time. And remember, we have a spam filter, so title your emails accordingly.
Yes.
Oh, geez. I picked up the first listener mail, and it's a condom response. So this is appropriate.
All right.
So this was about the condom podcast, and it's from Orlando, who writes, there is another use for condoms, well, for unlubricated condoms. In theater, you put your mic pack in them to keep them dry from sweat when the actor is wearing them. Well, during one rehearsal, no one had brought the condoms for the mic packs, so he ran literally out to the nearest pharmacy and, while gasping for breath, asked for the largest box of unlubricated condoms they had. I had to buy 2 boxes, and to top it all off, because this was a college theater group, I paid for it with the college credit card. And then he wrote back to say that the cashier was a 70-year-old guy. And as he's leaving, the old man says, someone's going to have a good time. But it was just for theater.
It was for theater. All right, shifting gears a little bit. I've got an email here from Mary in response to our NICU podcast about premature babies. And she says, 2 years ago, my son was in the NICU for 8 days. He was a full-term baby who was born the day before his due date. They aren't sure what happened, but he had an unexplained infection and needed to be in the NICU to be closely monitored. No one ever told me that this was a possibility, and it took me totally by surprise. After my son was born, they decided to take him from my room to put him in the well baby nursery for certain shots and a quick bath. They took him, and I didn't get to see him for the next 5 hours. And the next time I saw him, he was in the NICU isolette and hooked up to tons of machines. So she says, advice I have for other moms, leaving the hospital without your baby will be the worst experience of your life. Don't be afraid to cry or be upset. God, that makes me kind of want to cry right now. Ask tons of questions on the procedures and the results. When it comes down to it, you have a right to know what procedures your child is having, the results of those procedures, and the plans for the future. Also, the NICU will have visiting hours. These hours can be stretched for parents for bonding purposes, and ask if you can stay longer because they're usually very receptive. And then finally, as your baby progresses from the NICU, there are intermediate nursery options available to actually room with your child. When my son was finally placed in the intermediate nursery, I was allowed to actually stay in a private room at the hospital with him. He was still hooked to machines and had IVs and needed to be monitored, but I could sleep in the same room as him to get to be with him without the restrictions of the NICU visiting hours. And thanks to all of you parents out there who have sent us your stories and your tips about dealing with having a baby in the NICU. Keep them coming, and we're going to keep sharing them in our listener mail segments and also on our blog. And during the week, you guys can follow us on Twitter and also fan us on Facebook. We would love for you to do both of those things, of course. And like I said, we have a blog. It's Stuff Mom Never Told You, and you can find it at howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.